Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
A cold front swung through, and now we're going to see temperatures dropping through the day. I'll show you how cold it will be tonight. We're talking about freezing temperatures for a lot of folks.
And today, civil rights attorney Ben Crump will be in Raleigh to file a lawsuit on behalf of the family of a man who died after being shot with a taser by Raleigh police. Who is named in this wrongful death lawsuit? That's straight ahead.
Attorneys for James Dunmore, the man accused of killing his ex-girlfriend in Moore County, are now calling for his release just ahead. I'm explaining everything you need to know about what we're expecting in court today.
And three Tobacco Road teams are getting ready for their first round matchups in the NCAA tournament, including NC State.
I'm excited for Thursday.
Absolutely. We will be watching in full gear, all decked out.
Yes, yes.
We'll break down when, where, and who both the men and women's teams will be playing later this week. Such an exciting time of the year with March Madness. Good morning, everyone. It is 6 o'clock. Very few places in the country, I would imagine, have three local teams in the NCAA tournament. We're so lucky to be one of those areas. I'm Renee Chu.
I'm Jeff Hogan. It's great to have you with us. They're hard to come by,
yeah.
Right? What happened over the weekend? I came back from vacation. I saw a lot of NC State hats on Sunday around something.
Five wins in 5 days, winning the ACC championship.
Watched it all.
Fantastic.
It was good stuff. Elizabeth Gardner is over in the WRL Severe Weather Center. Right now, we have a weird little freeze warning going on here.
We do. I watched it all too. Well, not all of it. I watched Virginia and Carolina game. It was amazing. All right, freeze warning in effect for Sanford and back down through Pinehurst and Southern Pines. We do look like we'll see freezing temperatures in our northern counties, but coming up, I'll explain why we're only including these two counties in our freeze warning. It all has to do with when we typically see freezing temperatures arriving in the departing in the spring. 31 tonight in Roxborough and South Hill, 33 in Durham, 33 Southern Pines, but temperatures from Raleigh eastward are likely to be just above freezing overnight tonight. Right now in Durham, skies are partly cloudy, 57 right now. We do have a north wind at 8 miles per hour. That northerly wind is going to help our temperatures to drop on down to around 50 later this morning. It's 59 in Fayetteville, 60 in Goldsboro, 61 in Rocky Mount. We still have some mild temperatures right now, but we're going to kind of even things out into the upper 50s this afternoon. We're looking at partly cloudy skies this morning, so we have the top of the tower lit. It's going to be breezy too. That wind coming out of the north is going to feel pretty chilly today. Some gusts 15 to almost 20 miles per hour. And overnight tonight, we're going to see a quick shower. It's likely to be starting close to, say, 9 o'clock or so. We're looking at partly cloudy skies this afternoon. But a quick sprinkle rolls through between 8 and midnight, and then the temperatures will fall below freezing. So it's not going to line up to see anything frozen. Our temperature only in the mid to upper 50s as we get through the afternoon under partly cloudy skies. Plenty of sunshine ahead for the next several days, but it looks like we could have rain for the weekend again. I'll show you coming up, Eric.
Elizabeth will be looking out for that, but for the time being, checking traffic here this morning. We do have one crash that's popped up here on the map in just the last couple of minutes. That's going to be over here on the Beltline in between 64 and Pool Road. Still working to learn exactly how serious that crash is, how much of an impact that's going to be. You see on the sensors, we're not seeing any major backups there, but we're keeping a close eye on it. Taking a live look outside now. I-540 Old Buffalo Road. Couple of folks on the road out there, but as is the case for most people this morning, so far so good for your Monday.
I'm Nick Perlin in the WRAL Breaking News Tracker in Johnston County, where deputies blocked off this stretch of Bear Oak Drive in Smithfield to investigate a crime at this home. Deputies arrived here at around 9:30 Sunday night. Investigators used cameras to snap pictures of the scene. EMS and firefighters were also on the scene to help with the investigation. We're working to learn more from the Johnston County Sheriff's Office about what happened here. When we have that information, we will pass it along. In the WRAL Breaking News Tracker, I'm Nick Perlin, reporting in Johnston County.
And now we'll take you to Moore County. Fire and water everywhere as crews work to put out flames at this home in Whispering Pines. This video was captured by the WRAL Breaking News Tracker shortly after 1 in the morning on Pine Lake Drive. Firefighters worked to put out hot spots that remained after the large fire was knocked down. The backside of this one-story home has significant damage. The Red Cross was called to help the family, who now has to find a new place to live.
Happening today, prominent civil rights attorney Ben Crump will be in Raleigh to file a wrongful death lawsuit on behalf of the family of Darrell Williams. Williams was shocked with a police taser outside a Raleigh sweepstakes parlor last January. His cause of death is listed as sudden cardiac arrest. Williams yelled to police that he had a heart condition, and officers used the taser on him again after that. The autopsy also lists cocaine intoxication, physical exertion, and the use of a taser as factors in his death. Six officers were put on administrative leave. None of them faces charges. The lawsuit named the city of Raleigh, the Raleigh police chief, and the officers involved in Williams' death, all as defendants.
Today, the attorneys for the man accused of killing Alicia Watts will call for his release from jail. They say there is not enough evidence for James Dunmore to stay behind bars. WRL's Laura Levine is live outside the medical examiner's office in Raleigh this morning. And Laura, the autopsy for Alicia Watts was just released last week, and it did not offer any answers for the family.
Renee, it was just a few days ago when that autopsy was released from the state's medical examiner's office here in Raleigh for Alicia Watts. Now, the report states that Watts' cause of death was undetermined because her body was so badly decomposed by the time it was found in the woods. So happening today, we are expecting to hear from James Dunmore's attorney in court. James Dunmore, who is accused of murdering his ex-girlfriend, his attorney is expecting to ask for his release. Dunmore's defense argues that since there was no clear cause of death, prosecutors cannot meet their burden of proof against Dunmore. And Dunmore's attorney has asked the court to change his $1 million secure bond to unsecured so Dunmore can wait for trial outside of prison. Alicia Watts was reported missing back in July. Her body was found more than a month later on August 24th, about 20 minutes away from her home in Moore County. Her remains were found in the woods behind a cemetery along a back road leading to her house. Of course, we will continue to follow what happens today in court and bring you the latest updates. Laura Levine, WRL News, live in Raleigh.
All right, here's the moment we're going to show you right now. NC State players and fans at Sports and Social in Cary. How about that? That was right when they learned who the Wolfpack will play to tip off the NCAA tournament. NC State's will play Texas Tech the first round Thursday. The team was greeted by cheering fans at their Selection Sunday watch party. Guard DJ Horn grew up in Raleigh, and now he gets to add to NC State basketball history.
I just know that when I go into PNC next and I see that 2024 ACC champion banner up there, man, it's going to really hit me just like, wow, all this for this right here.
This is our big Jimmy V season and stuff like that. Like, getting to experience this, like being a student here is unreal. I'm just really happy I got to see it.
Yeah, then it was a party at the Bell Tower. State fans have watched their team's incredible rise all through the ACC tournament to reach this point. Duke and UNC are also advancing to the men's tournament. And coming up in 10 minutes, we'll also have a look at the women's tournament brackets.
Today, the Durham City Council will vote on partnering with Fayetteville to make sure all 911 calls are answered. Right now, Durham has an informal emergency backup relationship with the Raleigh-Wake Emergency Communication Center. Calls that went unanswered to Durham's emergency communications would go to Wake County. Durham now wants to switch to a formal partnership with Fayetteville. Council members are voting on the potential change during today's city council meeting.
New this morning, as Secretary of State Antony Blinken visits South Korea today, North Korea has fired missiles into the sea. Blinken is in Seoul for a conference on advancing democracy. South Korea's military says several short-range missiles were fired from an area near the North's capital. The State Department condemned the missile launches and called on North Korea to engage in diplomacy and dialogue. The missile launches come days after South Korea and the U.S. wrapped up large-scale joint military drills.
Tonight, Durham City leaders will consider asking for $5 million to begin cleaning up lead-contaminated soil at several parks in the city. Mayor Leonardo Williams says the topic will be a significant focus during their budget meeting. Residents believe the $5 million request is a good start, but only a start.
We would hope that this money allows for some beginning work in that area, but also that more detailed plans are given and options presented so that residents can respond accordingly with what we think would be the best path forward.
The city has also requested the Durham County Department of Public Health provide additional blood lead testing, which the department ended in October of last year. City leaders will meet tonight at 7.
A man accused of killing a New Mexico police officer is also the person of interest in the death of a South Carolina paramedic. That man is in custody this morning. The two-day search for Jeremy Smith of South Carolina ended in New Mexico. He's accused of shooting and killing New Mexico State Police officer Justin Hare on Friday. Hare was responding to a call for a driver with a flat tire when he was shot. That car belonged to South Carolina paramedic Phoenicia Machado Fiori. Now, she was found dead Friday night. Smith was identified as a person of interest in Machado Fiori's death and was taken into custody Sunday morning after he was spotted at a gas station in Albuquerque.
Today, applications open for the Durham Public Schools Elementary After School Program Lottery. School leaders say the lottery will make enrollment more fair as the school system faces high demand and staffing shortages. You can apply online through April 19th. You can also find more details on the DPS website.
You can find some help here. Filing your taxes can be confusing. You can get free help from Tax Pros On Call tomorrow. Five on Your Side has partnered with the North Carolina Society of Enrolled Agents for a call-in event Tuesday. Federally licensed tax professionals are volunteering their time to take your calls and answer your questions. Call in Tuesday from 4 to 7 p.m. and tune in to WRAL for reports on tax changes, scams, and other resources available in our community.
A Washington State woman who survived a recent cougar attack with the help of her friends is sharing her story for the first time.
The cougar wasn't going to take us cougars down.
WRL's Ken Smith will join us with this incredible story of survival and friendship.
And you know it's time to fill out those brackets. We will break down who our local teams will be playing in this year's NCAA Women's Basketball Tournament.
And after a mild weekend, it is going to be a cooler week for us for the most part. We're looking at temperatures in the upper 50s this afternoon and down near freezing tonight. I'll show you who's under a freeze warning coming up.
As you get into your car, tune to WRAL News Plus on your radio in Raleigh on 99.3 FM, in Durham 96.5 FM, and everywhere on 101.5 HD3.
Our temperatures are mild right now. It is 61 in Wilson, but the whirly gigs are whirling around out there. We do have a north wind that's going to push some cold air in starting now all the way through the afternoon. So we've seen the warmest temperatures that we're going to see pretty much for the day today. Durham at 57 now. Fayetteville is at 59. We'll see partly cloudy skies with a chance of a few sprinkles overnight tonight. We'll walk through that coming up in just a few minutes. It is a mild start, but our temperatures will be turning cooler over the next few hours. And we're just going to hold it here in the 50s today. We'll see temperatures this afternoon at around 58 degrees under partly cloudy skies. Again, a few showers overnight tonight. We are looking at some very cold temperatures, but the cold air and the rain are not going to line up. I'll show you coming up.
Taking a look at traffic here this morning. We're continuing to keep our eyes on the one crash that's popped up on the sensors. That is going to be over here on 440 near that 64 interchange. Zooming in here, you can see sensors not picking up any major backups at this point, but it does look like this may be a serious crash. We're still working to learn what exactly happened there. If there are any injuries, we'll bring you those details as we get them. So far, so good across the region, though. As you take a live look at I-40 and South Saunders, traffic there moving nice and smooth.
And happening right now in the WREL Life Center, a really scary situation in Australia. A man fell to his death from a hot air balloon. The hot air balloon took off from Melbourne earlier in the morning. It was in the air for about 30 minutes before that man fell from this basket. His body was found in a residential area. The balloon did land safely miles from where that man's body was found. Police said the death is not being treated as suspicious. They are speaking with the pilot of that hot air balloon as well as other occupants inside. Lava is flowing once again in Iceland after a volcano erupted over the weekend. The eruption on Saturday opened a 2-mile-long crack in the earth. Hundreds of people were forced to evacuate from the nearby Blue Lagoon Thermal Spa, one of Iceland's top tourist attractions. This is the fourth time the volcano has erupted since December. No deaths have been reported, but a workman is missing after falling into a crack in the earth created by the volcano. Ahead this morning on Today, an exclusive interview with Lakin Riley's father, who is speaking out for the first time. Lakin Riley is a 22-year-old nursing student found dead on the University of Georgia campus late last month.
Gives you strength.
Knowing that she's looking down on me, it has made me so much stronger.
More of that interview is coming up this morning on Today, which airs right here on WREL at 7.
A woman in Washington State is sharing her story of survival. She was attacked by a cougar while on a mountain bike outing with her friends. And WREL's Ken Smith is here with her frightening account of what happened, Ken.
Yeah, Jeff. Carrie Bergier says she was in the fight for her life back in February. These are some of the friends that she was with when this incident happened. You can see her face bears the scars from that attack. The women were about 19 miles into their ride when two cougars ran out from the brush. One kept going into the woods. The other lunged at Bergier, clenching part of her face in its jaws. But she and her friends fought that cougar for about 15 minutes until it finally released her.
I just remember getting tackled from this side and then ending up at the other side of the road.
I immediately tried to choke the cougar, which was like choking a rock.
Yeah, the women managed to get a bike on top of that cougar and held it there until help arrived. A wildlife officer eventually shot and killed that cougar. Well, the women say their primal instinct kicked in. They did what they had to do to save their friend, Renee.
Ken, thank you. All three of our local teams are in this year's NCAA Women's Basketball Tournament. UNC is an 8 seed, Duke is a 7 seed, and NC State is a 3 seed. NC State will host first and second round games at Reynolds Coliseum. They will host Chattanooga Saturday afternoon. And the winner of that game will play the winner of a game between Tennessee and Green Bay. Duke will be playing in Columbus in the first round against Richmond. And if Duke wins, the Blue Devils will likely play Ohio State in the second round. And the Tar Heels will play Michigan State in the first round in Columbia, South Carolina. If UNC wins, they will likely play undefeated South Carolina in the second round.
Both of the tough second round matchups if they get past that first one. Elizabeth Gardner, meantime, over in the WRS Severe Weather Center. Tomorrow's the first day of spring. We have a lot going on before we get to that, though.
We do. It's definitely going to feel like spring. I mean, in terms of what really happens in spring, which is usually a giant roller coaster ride. It was such a warm and beautiful day yesterday. We hit 73 degrees, and this afternoon temperatures will be in the 50s. That's all thanks to this cold front that swept through, and it showed rain with it. There were no wet roads when I walked in this morning. So I think most of that must have evaporated before it reached the ground. But we'll have another potential round later on tonight, and colder air is now spilling in behind that front. Here's a look at Futurecast. We'll see partly cloudy to mostly cloudy skies today. Could be a quick shower right after lunchtime, but it's most likely that the bulk of us won't see that. And then starting at about 8 o'clock through around midnight, there could also be just a quick sprinkle. It looks a little bit more ominous there on Futurecast, but it's really likely to be just some light patchy rain that we end up seeing. And then tomorrow looks beautiful, but we are going to start with some very cold temperatures tomorrow. We'll take a close look at that coming up. We jump ahead to Friday because that's going to be our next best chance for rain in the afternoon and evening. We're going to see a system rolling in that brings us some scattered showers, and that may linger through early Saturday. This is Saturday at 7 a.m. We take it on out to lunchtime, and it starts to pull away during the afternoon. There's a different version of Futurecast that shows that moving out a lot faster, and so we're going to be watching the timeline for that rain pretty closely on Saturday. For Friday, 50% chance. It's more likely that we would see some showers or isolated thunderstorms in our south and eastern counties. And we take a look at how much rain we could see on Friday into Saturday. And it all depends on how slowly that system moves. This is going to be more of the worst case scenario where we could end up with as much as 3/4 of an inch to maybe an inch of rain on Friday into Saturday. We take a live look outside right now. We've got Goldsboro, Fayetteville there at our newsroom, Apex, and of course Chapel Hill, courtesy of Top of the Hill Restaurant. All is quiet right now. We do have a freeze warning that is in effect for tonight and early tomorrow morning for Lee County and Moore County. And the reason it's only for two counties is, number one, it's likely to be a little bit warmer farther east. And our northern counties have not seen the beginning of the growing season yet. And I'm going to explain what we mean by that. It's a little bit complicated, but coming up in 30 minutes in the next main weather hit, we'll talk about that. Checking out temperatures tomorrow morning or overnight tonight, 32 in Lewisburg, 31 in South Hill, 30 in Roxboro, 31 in Siler City, 31 in Sanford, 33 Southern Pines, but 35 in Irwin and Fayetteville, and 36 in Clinton. So a little bit warmer the farther south and east you go. But no matter what, it's going to be coat weather for everybody tomorrow morning. The first day of spring is tomorrow with sunshine and a temperature of 57. Then we jump to 70 and then back into the low 60s. And these temperatures are normal for this time of year. Again, we do have that potential for some scattered rain over the weekend. Eric?
Elizabeth, we're continuing to keep our eyes on one crash out there on the sensors popping up over here on 440 near that 64 interchange. Zooming in here, you can see just on the north side there is where that's popping up. We're seeing some backups in that area, but nothing major at this point. Still, if you're coming through, that is likely something that you're going to want to keep an eye on just to be safe. Otherwise, taking a live look out there right now, I-40 at South Saunders. You can see traffic looking good there. Nothing too major, no major delays, but of course we will be keeping a very close eye on things, let you know as those crashes and backups start to build in.
Eric, thanks. You have a chance to watch the 2024 Paris Olympics live on the big screen. What we learned about NBC's new partnership with AMC Theaters that will bring the Olympics to theaters across the nation.
Also, we have this look at your NC Education winning lottery numbers on your screen right now.
This What's Trending report, sponsored by Rug and Home.
Now for a look at what's trending, Massachusetts Governor Maura Healey marked St. Patrick's Day in a unique way.
Yeah, instead of the traditional wearing of the green during the annual St. Patrick's Day breakfast in Boston, Healey was wearing a different outfit. Yeah, this is she and Lieutenant Governor Kim Driscoll dressed in those Dunkin's tracksuits, the ones made famous during the Super Bowl ad for the Dunkin' Donuts spot. And Healey and Driscoll handed out Dunkin' Donuts munchkins to the crowd that had gathered for that holiday breakfast.
I mean, they do stand out in the bright orange. It kind of hurts the eyes there.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah. Calling themselves Dunk Queens instead of Dunkin's.
Yeah. Very creative. Well, fans of Zack Snyder, get excited. Netflix posted the first picture of the poster for Rebel Moon Part 2, The Scargiver, on their Instagram yesterday. Part 1 of the sci-fi film hit Netflix back in 2021. Part 2 is set to hit streaming on April 19th.
I know fans are super excited about it because the first one ended on a big cliffhanger, so they're waiting to see what happens. Round 2.
And Zack Snyder has said he's wanted to make this like a Star Wars thing, like make this into a huge franchise and roll it out. So
wait for the prequel.
That's right. There's always that option.
Yeah. This summer, you'll be able to watch the Paris Olympics from the comfort of an AMC theater. AMC announced it will be broadcasting the Olympics at 160 select theaters. The decision comes after the company saw major success with Beyonce and Taylor Swift's concert films. So executives are looking for more alternative content options. Showing for the Summer Olympics will start on July 27th and end on August 11th.
Attorneys for James Dunmore, the man accused of killing his ex-girlfriend in Moore County, is calling for his release. Just ahead at 6:30, I'll explain why as we look ahead to his court appearance today.
And it's mild right now, but tonight cold air moves in and we do have a freeze warning in effect for parts of the viewing area. I'll show you how cold it will be this time tomorrow where you are.